Project Independence is the aging in place initiative of the town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services. Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Iris Bunshaft. And that was a wonderful, wonderful presentation we just had with Dr. Lachman in reference to being heart healthy. And, of course, Christina was very cool with scheduling it the day after Valentine's Day. And now we're going to speak with Dr. Jill Rabin. And Dr. Rabin is a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the Zucker School of Medicine at Hofstra Northwell. And are you on there, doctor?
Yeah, good morning.
Thank you so much for being on the show this morning.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Dr. Rabin, this is Iris Bunshaft. We're looking forward to hearing you speak today about mind over bladder, which is a very important issue with older people. And would you tell us what it is that your book is about and what this problem is, and if it can be, if the incontinence is serious, which we know is, and is very embarrassing, and many people have this affliction as we get older. How can it be modified? Can it be cured? And so on and so forth, that I know that you're most versed in.
Well, those are a lot of questions, Mrs. Bunshaft. I'll do the best I can. Well, incontinence affects 2 out of every 5 women under the age of 50 or so before menopause, and at least 3 out of every 5 women after menopause. It's a very common problem. And just because it's common and the norm doesn't mean you have to accept it, and doesn't mean that there can't be things done about it. In fact, the earlier that a woman becomes aware that she may have a bladder issue of any type, the better chance she has of reducing the impact that leakage has on her life. And one of the most important things young women can do, if they find that, for example, with sports, they have a little bit of leakage with tennis or golf or running, they can begin to do pelvic floor muscle exercises, which is a way of strengthening the muscles which support the bladder and also the uterus and the colon. And if you strengthen those muscles, 2 wonderful things happen. First of all, you are able to support the organs better so that you won't have leakage at all or as much with cough, laugh, and sneeze. But also, when you support your organs, they actually are in a better position and don't do what you hear on TV about the gotta go, gotta go. They don't have spasms. So you can reduce the spasms of your bladder simply by strengthening the muscles, and which will hold up the bladder better.
You're referring to the Kegel.
The Kegels. Kegels are a way of sort of beginning the conversation with people, because most women have heard of Kegel exercises. But Arnold Kegel was a wonderful, smart man who discovered that if you do these regular exercises, like with any voluntary muscle, that the muscle will thicken and strengthen, and that in this case, for the Kegel, will support the bladder better and reduce leakage with cough or sneeze, which is stress incontinence, and reduce the spasms, which is urge incontinence. And a lot of our book is about explaining all of this and how to get a diagnosis and find out what type you have. Sometimes there's more than one. And what are the treatment options? And what should you be discussing with your doctor?
Okay. Can you tell us some of the modifications and so on that can be made?
Absolutely. Well, everybody can be a little bit more aware of their bladder. All of us. You don't get a prize for holding the urine for hours and hours. We're not camels, for gosh sakes. So it's good for everyone, men and women, to make sure that they're emptying their bladder while they're awake, at least every 4 hours. And as you get older, women should be thinking about that every 2 to 3 hours. And the reason for that is women are not simply small men. We have much shorter urethras. Male urethra is quite long, varying length, up to about, 15 up. 18 centimeters. Women's urethras are only 3 to 4 centimeters, and that is not even 2 inches. So if you think about it, that poor little urethra has to close off against lifting children, grandchildren, running, and so forth. So basically, if you become more aware of your bladder and make sure to empty it at least every 4 hours, and less, even more often as you get older, you will then control, your mind will then control the bladder better, not completely, because there's an involuntary nervous system also, but the voluntary nervous system will be controlled by the brain. The bladder will not be controlling your brain. It will be the other way around. It will be truthfully mind over bladder. And that is something that people can do that doesn't cost anything. When you go to the bathroom and you're out of your house, when you're in your home, you're comfortable, you sit down to empty your bladder, relax your pelvic floor, and go ahead and let the bladder empty. When you're out, this whole squatting thing is really not good for the poor little urethra that I mentioned, because when you squat, if you have a little bit of a prolapsed or a dropped bladder, it will compress the urethra and not allow you to empty completely. So it's a good idea to carry a cover with you or cover with toilet paper and sit down as much as you can. And even if you're out and if you have to carry baby wipes and toilet seat covers, fine. But go ahead and empty your bladder when you're out as well. When you're out all day, I've heard a lot of my patients say they don't go to the bathroom all day. If they're out shopping or working, they don't go. And that overstretches the bladder. And eventually, the bladder may forget how to contract and empty, sort of like a kitchen sponge that only if you squeeze it halfway, it still has half of the water left in it. But the bladder may forget to squeeze down and lose its elasticity if you've gone around for years not emptying your bladder often enough during the daytime. And that's called actually school teacher's bladder, because in the old days, teachers could not go to the bathroom except at the beginning and end of the day and at lunchtime, which is serious. Especially for the older teacher, really not enough. Over time, that can lead to an overactive bladder, because the bladder always has to go because it's never really empty. Eventually, the bladder may forget how to contract completely, and you have what's called an atonic bladder, or a bladder that simply won't contract, and whatever leaks out is called overflow incontinence, and that's not that common, but not uncommon. So a very easy tip is to make sure to empty your bladder often enough. Try to sit down when you go. Watch the fluid intake. You want to take your ideal body weight. If you have good heart function, take your body weight, actually your current body weight, for the patients over 60, and take it in half. So if somebody weighs 140 pounds, they should be drinking 70 ounces, half of that, in fluid a day, and that any fluid counts, anything you can pour, including coffee, tea, water, soup, and so forth. And that's about, and you want to space that out during the day and not drink it all at night, because you'll be up all night in the bathroom. So you want to space it out during the day and make sure you stay hydrated. Very, very important reason to stay hydrated. Number one, if you restrict your fluids, your women are more susceptible specifically to get bladder infections because it concentrates the urine. And second of all, you'll get constipated because you need a certain amount of fluid to keep the bowel moving. So very important to drink enough. And women who have a leakage problem may restrict their fluid so they don't have to go to the bathroom as often. But in fact, it's doing the opposite. It's making people at more risk, a higher risk of constipation and bladder infections. So those are just a couple of tips that people can do that don't cost anything. But probably one of the most important things is to pay attention to what you're eating and drinking, because there are bladder triggers that give people overactive bladder.
I'm just going to jump in with a second with a question. If you have like an 8 or 12-ounce glass of water, Okay, what is the time period for that to go through your system? Like you're saying, drink earlier in the day. Right. So at what point... if you drink at 9 o'clock, that's going to be in your bladder and wanting to come out at 11 or 11:30 or 12 o'clock. You understand my question?
That's a great question. It actually depends upon your cardiac function, your heart function, and your kidney function, because some people will say they drink and immediately they have to go to the bathroom. Well, we're not Betsy Wetsy dolls, and if you drink it, that old-fashioned doll where if you fed her with the liquid, she'd peed right away. So basically, everybody, nobody does it that fast. So figure it could get into the kidney and into the bladder within an hour. Or even 45 minutes, and some people whose renal function, whose kidney function is slower, may take a little longer, may take an hour and a half to 2 hours. So I tell people to don't restrict fluid at night, but don't start drinking, you know, a liter of fluid after dinner. So you want to have most of your fluid by the time you finish your dinner. You want to have probably about 85 to 90% of your fluid already in you by the time you are finished with your dinner.
Okay, perfect.
I wanted to ask a couple of questions here. Food, is there any food that that works against the bladder? And also, when you sit down and you want to get out as much fluid as possible, much urine as possible, should you squeeze that last squeeze? Does that work for you or against you?
Two excellent questions, Iris. So the first question is food triggers. A lot of people have food and liquid triggers. For example, for some people, the following may give them an overactive bladder where they're in the bathroom all the time. For some people, hot peppery foods, hot spicy foods are a trigger. For some people, chocolate or alcohol or coffee, caffeinated beverages. And for some people, aspartame, the artificial sweetener, aspartame, also. So what I tell my patients is if you do have overactive bladder and you're seriously say you just go all the time, and I have a lot of young women who are drinking a huge amount of Diet Coke, for example, with aspartame or whatever the product is with aspartame, the blue packages are the aspartame sweetener, I tell them to eliminate one of those things for 2 weeks. Completely eliminated. If your bladder is better, that may be your trigger. And if it didn't make a difference, you go to the next food or liquid and see if you can locate the trigger. Many people will have food triggers. And that's an answer to the first question.
Doctor, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold for a second because we have to go to a break. So we'll answer the second part of it when we come back. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.